Welcome, America, to a Glenn Beck Wednesday night special. This is a special free 90-minute episode. I want to make a couple of things very clear at the beginning here, because a lot of what I'm going to tell you tonight is very tightly scripted. That's very unusual for me, because I usually just do this. I just usually talk to you. But we are living in a very litigious society, and lawfare is becoming the way of the world. We have hundreds of employees that work at this network, and I do not want to say anything that would jeopardize our ability to serve you. I hope that you are watching this with a friend who perhaps does not vote the same way you do. I asked for the last couple of days on radio to please share this with your Democrat friends. Share this with anyone. You may hate the messenger. That's fine. I'm going to try to make this as palatable to people who don't vote the same way as I do and don't agree with me politically, because there have to be a few principles that we all agree on. Tonight, I'm going to take you through some things that you may not know of. And I want to make this super clear. As we're talking about the election, I am not talking about 2016, which the left said was stolen, 2020, which the right said was stolen, 2022. The only time I'm going to mention those two elections, the 2020 and 22, is in the form of this question. Do you feel like the election is more secure this year than it was in 2022 or 2020? Next question. What has your state done to make this year's election more secure? Now, have you ever heard that? Been there, done that? Okay. Been there, done that. I even have the t-shirt. I thought just for people that don't understand, I have the t-shirt. This is not about 2020. We all have to agree on a few principles, and one of them, I have no problem losing in the next election if that's what America truly decides. I have a problem losing if it could have been or was stolen by either side. I don't want Donald Trump to win because he cheated. I don't want Joe Biden to win because he cheated. I can live my life in peace if I know those around me who were legitimately voting and had a legitimate place in our society to vote, voted, and that's what they decided. More secure. Those two words have completely different meanings nowadays, depending on what side you're on. I want to show you an article from the Washington Post. It did this a couple of weeks ago. It talks about the new voting laws in swing states that could, quote, shape the 2024 election. It shows how voting this year in Michigan, for instance, and I will quote them, it will be easier for many people this fall. Okay. Good, I guess. Why is it easier? Because they have written laws extending early voting, making it easier for mail-in voting, and they've added enough ballot drop boxes. Wait a minute. Isn't that what caused the election to take about 9 years to find out who actually won last time? Isn't that the problem that made people skeptical and even more skeptical than the Democrats were in 2016? Well, not according to the Washington Post. No, it means that this is easier to vote. Okay. But they also make sure to contrast the word easier with places in Michigan, with states like North Carolina that didn't make it easier. The Post says residents in the states like North Carolina will see dramatic changes in the opposite direction, which would mean what? It's tougher? Okay, maybe it is. Over there, in places that the elite, doesn't really like, They've done the unthinkable. What have they done? Well, the Washington Post lays it all out. They have required voters to show voter ID. That is something that has about 80% approval with all sides. Okay? The average person doesn't think it's unreasonable. They require absentee ballots returned with a deadline. Scale back the locations of early voting. In short, in North Carolina, it's going to be dogs and cats living together in mass hysteria. Okay, you might want it easier. But is it also secure? What they did in North Carolina, I think, is secure the election. But that's not the framing the Post is giving. And we can disagree on this. The two states illustrate, they say, how voting has changed since the last presidential election, but whether Americans will have an easier or harder time casting a ballot. I want everyone to be able to cast a ballot. I don't care what color you are, who you vote for, as long as you're legal to vote. I don't want you voting twice. I don't want you voting dead. I don't want you voting if you're not supposed to be here. This is the new dialectic. Voting is easy if it means mass early and mail-in voting. Mail-in voting doesn't have to be unsecure, but it is now. It is easy to drop tons of ballots in drop boxes. It is hard if you have to show an ID. It is hard if you don't agree with ballots being mailed out all over the place and stuffed in drop boxes next to the local Piggly Wiggly supermarket. Deadlines are hard. Securing something is hard. If something doesn't require something that is hard, it's almost meaningless. Some things like freedom are hard. Voting should be hard. Not to make it harder, just to make it harder, but to make it secure. You want to make it easy? We got blockchain. You can vote from your phone. I'm fine with that. But it's secure. We can't just make everything easier. It's great for framing, but it is horrible for voter confidence. And if we cannot come together, and let me ask you this. Do you believe that no matter who wins, the other side is going to say, oh, that was the vote? Or will they say it was stolen? I don't care if it was Joe Biden or Donald Trump. Will either side believe it? I don't think so. So the solution is, let's do the things right now that make it secure. Make us at least feel better that it's secure. Let me show you this ABC News poll from 2022. It revealed only 20% of the American public said that they were very confident in the country's elections. Now, I don't know. 20% is not very high. I'd like that to be a little higher. How many people won't even vote this year because they don't have confidence that will even matter? You want that? I don't. I don't think you do either. But as I'll show you later in the show, many of the problems we now have with the election confidence that originated from the pandemic are now being pushed at the federal level through executive order. Remember, all of this stuff was introduced as a one-time only because of the pandemic. Something that a lot of people don't know that aren't paying attention. Biden began something years ago, but there's little to no information on it. We have more details now, and I'm going to show you what is happening after the next break. But it's important. Safe and secure. What I'm seeing right now are only more questions, and we asked for answers, and I'll show you at the end of the show. I'm not comfortable with these answers. I don't know. What we stumbled upon about 3 or 4 weeks ago was something that is now out in the open. And because of the answers I'm getting, I don't know. But we went to experts and we asked them. And nobody wanted to take this on. No one. I didn't even want to take this on at the beginning because I thought we were just going to rehash 2020. I don't want to rehash that. I look to the future. Are we secure for this fall? I can't tell you how much this, let me say this. This show cost us more in attorneys than any show I've ever done in my lifetime. I just want the truth. And we cannot live in a society where people are afraid to explore, question the truth, where we have nothing. That's what we're going to do tonight. And we're also going to show you a way to help mend this problem and make it go away as much as we can. The allegation that we found was in a lawsuit that was ultimately waived by the Supreme Court this month. I'm not going to relitigate or try to say they did the wrong thing on that. I wasn't involved in that, and I'm not going to get into it. However, the information that we read, it didn't, I mean, it was so crazy that we thought this cannot be true. But based on the seriousness of the allegation and the fact that no one is reporting on it, we went to experts and said, can you prove this one way or another? We decided to make tonight's show longer than usual to be able to show you this. The final portion will be live exclusively on Blaze TV, but I wanted to make sure everyone gets a chance to see it. For 24 hours only, this full and extended and uncensored episode is free on Blaze TV and on my X account at Glenn Beck. Why those two places? Because I know those two places will not punish us for asking questions, nor will they take the episode down. Tonight's show is why I started The Blaze, because I knew if I was at Fox, I would never be able to do these things. Hard questions must be asked. Go to blazetv.com/Glenn. Subscribe, if you will, with the promo code SECURE24. We need your help to continue telling the stories like these. Join the fight with us. Now, I'm not only going to show you what this new allegation is. I'm going to show you what you can do to join in and do something about it. We're going to talk about it at the end of the program, and then tomorrow, expanded coverage on this on radio. We all want a secure election, left, right, Democrat, Republican. This is a nonpartisan issue. I need you to alert your friends. We can all help to ensure that it is as secure as possibly can be. The election integrity fight is heating up, and it has been. I showed you that the Washington Post story, what it said just a minute ago, making it clear they see this issue broken down into two groups, those who are making it easier to vote and those who are making it hard. I don't care if it's easy or hard. I want it to be accurate. The Post is not the only outlet taking a side, however, and this is, I'm trying not to do this in this episode. I saw an article a couple of weeks ago in Wired magazine. It blew my mind. Inside the election denial groups planning to disrupt November. Wow, that's quite a headline. It goes on to reference several former Trump officials and even Tea Party members who are holding training sessions on how to, one, organize on a hyper-local level. Good. You should be organized if you're looking at the elections at a hyper-local because all elections are local. Monitoring polling places and drop boxes. Good. Challenge voter registrations. Good. I want a Democrat to stand next to a Republican and do those things. And then they came to the last one. And harass voters and election officials. What? Where is that? Because I condemn that with everything in me. There's nothing wrong with the first three things, right? We should all be doing that. It's called securing the election. But any kind of harassment or violence or disruption with election officials is clearly out of line. But if you actually read the article, there is zero evidence to that in the article. In fact, It's only mentioned that time, one time. They never allude to it again. Now, this article really kind of makes me question fair and balanced when I compare it to another article that came out a month after Joe Biden's inauguration. It came from Time magazine, and I found this mind-boggling, and I had hoped at the time, and I don't know if you're a Democrat, if you've ever seen this, but I hoped at the time everyone, I don't care if who you voted for, everyone had a problem with this article. Listen to this. And if you didn't vote for Biden, every time I talk about Democrats or Biden, just put the word Trump in there and see if you would be comfortable. The secret history of the shadow campaign that saved the 2020 election. It goes on to describe a well-funded cabal of powerful people ranging across industries and ideologies, working together behind the scenes to influence perceptions, change rules and laws, steer media coverage, and control the flow of information. I'm not comfortable with anyone doing any of that. The cabal included groups like Fight Back Table, the Democracy Defense Coalition. I don't know anything about either of those. I mean, I would have a problem if it was the RNC. I don't know who these people are. They also had CEOs and connections to big labor. Who are these people to control information? Now, I might be alone on this. I don't know how you disagree. If you do disagree, please call me tomorrow. I'd love to understand how you got there. But this sounds a little more sinister than some people monitoring polling places and Dropbox locations. I put this in the same category as you're going to disrupt or you're going to harass officials that they say the conservatives are doing, except this one. I mean, it's the definition of conspiracy, not theory, conspiracy. They work together in secret behind the scenes. Yes, but those Trump people will, according to Wire, disrupt the election. And according to Time magazine, the lefties saved the last one. They're also a cabal. Their words, not mine, but it's no big deal. It is a big deal. If it was Trump that did that, you wouldn't want it. If it was Biden that did it, I wouldn't want it. A few things we have to agree on. Back in a minute. So why have so many Americans lost faith in our election system? Have you lost faith? After we come back from the next break, I'm going to show you how we can fix it. But first, what is the root of the problem here? I told you earlier that Tonight Show has nothing to do with the results of 2020, 2022, 2016. But we must look at the system that was unleashed during the pandemic. Expanded absentee voting, mass mail-in voting, ballot harvesting, chain of custody of those ballots, ballots curing. All of these cause questions and sow doubt. Again, if you voted for Joe Biden, imagine if it was Donald Trump that had done all of those things. Would that help your confidence? Where are all the ballots coming from? Where are they going? What's the chain of custody? Who's directing? Who's paying for all of this? Molly Hemingway wrote one of the best accounts of what was happening behind the scenes during the weirdest election of our lifetime. We were all very motivated to go out and vote, but the left, as we found out from Time magazine, mobilized en masse to ensure Donald Trump would lose. That included billionaire Mark Zuckerberg and over $350 million of his own money. Private dollars were given to public election offices through left-wing NGOs, but they had a few conditions. It amounted to a, quote, Democrat get out the vote efforts, mass mail-in voting, ballot curing, whereby election workers fix mail-in ballot problems after the ballot has been submitted, end quote. And the money was not thrown around willy-nilly. It was targeted to, and I quote, government election offices in the biggest cities of swing states, where the majority of Democratic voters are concentrated. Those funds were used for Democratic voter outreach, designing and translating ballots, and staffing ballot harvesting, curing, and counting operations. The conflict of interest here is really obvious. It was partisan and private funding. Again, if I said the Republicans were doing this and they were going to the state election officials privately funding with some string attached, would you be happy? They funneled the public election money to the public election offices to target Democrat voters. It was being done in the most unprecedented election in modern history. This was all part of the system that emerged after 2020. I'm not arguing the eventual election results. This is a new system now, and it doesn't breed a whole lot of voter confidence, and we're running out of time to secure it. Over half the country has now banned private funding in our elections. I can't believe it hasn't been banned 100%. I'll have this list up at glennbeck.com. If your state isn't on it, it begs the question, why? Why all of a sudden do they need private funding? Who are these private funders? If you have a problem with money in the elections, this is kind of a big one. Why don't they care that those funds might have strings attached like in 2020? All of this was justified, apparently, because of the pandemic. But we don't have that anymore. But never fear. 3 years ago, Joe Biden issued this executive order. It promotes access to voting. Its stated goal is to promote and defend the right to vote. And Biden directed every agency in the federal government to participate. Federal agencies were to somehow look into voter registration, expand vote by mail, and use approved third-party organizations to help them get it all done. We don't know who those organizations are. We don't know all of the details because they are stonewalling Congress. We all saw that approved third-party organizations, what it meant back in 2020. It meant partisan with strings attached. But what is happening now? We don't know. Biden has refused to let Congress know exactly what the heck the executive order is meant to do. In the weeks leading up to the midterms, Biden's DOJ stonewalled Freedom of Information Act requests. Again, if this were Donald Trump, let me just ask you, was Donald Trump picking up where Mark Zuckerberg left off? Would you have a problem with that? They refused to tell us. But for the Foundation of Government Accountability, they called Biden's executive order a, quote, unconstitutional, taxpayer-funded, get-out-the-vote effort designed to benefit the president's political party. So it's Zuckbucks on government-funded steroids. And the new information appears to prove this. I want to show you this is an email that was revealed by the Heritage Foundation's Oversight Project. It is a collaboration between an apparent approved third party and the Department of Agriculture. The subject line states, Demos Meeting on Voting Rights EO. This is a collaboration regarding Biden's secret squirrel voting rights executive order. Now take a look at this line, and I quote, you all had asked for some data on voter registration through the NVRA at the state level, which I've pasted below. So the Department of Agriculture, of all agencies, had enlisted the support of this approved third party to get their info at state level on voter registration data. So who is the third party helping the government? Their name is Demos, and I want to read what they are and read to you what they are all about directly from their website. Ready? They are, quote, working to build a just, inclusive, multiracial democracy. DeMoss has worked at the intersection of democracy reform, economic justice, and racial justice. DeMoss has moved progressive issues from the movement to the mainstream, such as debt-free college. Now, again, we're talking our elections. You can do whatever you want, but this is our election partner. Does that sound nonpartisan? Think about it if it was Trump. DeMoss has, quote, close ties to the wing of the Democratic Party associated with U.S. Senator Elizabeth Warren from Massachusetts and the left-wing progressive movement advocating a far-left agenda. That's from their website. And they're working directly with the U.S. government to secure our elections? Look, I have been exposing big progressive financing to fundamentally transform our country for a very long time. But who really needs the Tides Foundation, Mark Zuckerberg, or even George Soros anymore? The U.S. government is now taking their place, and the Fed's pockets are a bit deeper than all of them combined. In this system, the unprecedented changes to the way we vote, expanded early and absentee voting, mass mail-in ballots, ballot harvesting, will become the norm. But why is the left so laser-focused on mail-in and early voting? Because for them and their media surrogates, all they're doing is making voting easier. It's not true. They've done the studies, and they know exactly what they are doing. This is a case study from 2020. It's analyzing early voting laws, the partisan effect from an election in Ohio. They found pretty much everything the left is now pushing to change how we vote benefits mainly, and I quote, women, Democrats, independents, and those of childbearing and working age. Kind of sounds like the demographics that the left has been trying to weaponize the past decade or so. But why does it benefit them more than conservatives and not the typical conservative voter? Quote, urban Democratic areas expanded early voting at a faster rate than rural Republican ones. Okay. And just to drive the dagger home, we further find that the effects are larger on Democrats than on Republicans, and that effects on independents are very large. That's why they're doing this. They're beating us in elections. That's a science now. They've prepared, and pretty much everything that made us lose confidence in the election is their path forward. Again, strategy is strategy. Ballot harvesting, I don't like it, but if it's legal in your state, the Republicans should be doing as much as the Democrats are, but play fair. The old days of finding out who won on an election night, those days are over. Been there, done that. I got the T-shirt. Uh-huh. If the election lasts longer than 4 hours, contact your doctor immediate. There might be some. Conservatives have done their own studies. And we can fix our election system pretty easily. It's common sense. It's not partisan. I'll show you when we come back. If you happen to be somebody who disagrees with my point of view, you may not like this commercial, but let me explain. This is... The argument from the left has been, when we talk about abortion, that you hate women and you don't care really about the babies once the baby is born. And, you know, you got the abortion trucks. Okay. I mean the ones that show the abortions and they're plastered with all the anti-abortion stuff. All right. Let me tell you about the Ministry of Preborn. Ministry of Preborn, every day, they introduce expecting moms to their unborn baby through a free ultrasound. Preborn, by doing that, doubles the chances that she will choose life. Why? Because she sees the reality, not what's been pumped into her head, but the reality that is a child with a heartbeat. Doing just that, they've rescued 280,000 babies, and they do it with love and compassion and free ultrasounds every day. However,
The other problem with abortion, we've only been talking about the baby. What about the mom? 60% don't want to have this, but they don't feel like they have any other choice. There's no one in the family that will help them or is for it. They're all urging to have an abortion. Maybe the boyfriend or the husband is doing the same thing, and they don't have the means to do it. That's why Preborn also offers assistance to the mom and the child for up to 2 years after that baby is born. Putting the lie to the left's claim that conservatives don't care about the baby or the mom. I am proud to partner every day with Preborn. They don't get a dime from the government. It's individuals like you. One life-saving ultrasound is $28. You can donate securely. Wish you could do that with your vote. Dial pound 250. Say the keyword baby. Pound 250, keyword baby, or go to preborn.com/Glenn. As I mentioned before, only 20% of the country is now very confident in our elections, and that is an insanely dangerous number, but I think it's understandable. The good news is that it is fixable. I'm going to show you a report compiled by the Foundation for Government Accountability, and it goes step by step showing how we, the people, can restore confidence in our election system. There are 8 steps to securing the election, and everything has to be done at a state level. The federal government, constitutionally, does not have anything to do with the election. Every state gets to make its own rules as long as it is secure. We have got to get more active in state and local elections if we're going to have a shot at getting anything done. And that is known on the left, but it has not been practiced by the right. Now, everything that is legal should be done. But the first step is states must ban ballot harvesting to secure elections. I agree. Ballot harvesting is awful. The other side must play the legal game, or you're going to be left in the dust every time. But this should go away. Ballot harvesting is when a third person, a third party, collects and submits the mail-in ballots from other individuals to be counted. Is there any oversight? Or are there bad actors along the chain of custody? We don't know. Were the voters influenced by the third party? Did they actually check that box? These are all good questions, but the lack of answers are not making any of us more confident. In fact, in 2018, multiple Republicans in California saw their apparent election night wins eventually turn into losses. Now, perhaps these were all legitimate, but Republicans pointed at a recent change in a California voting law that, quote, lets voters allow anyone to drop off their absentee ballot rather than a family member as previously required. That has opened the door to what they call ballot harvesting. Now keep in mind, this was before the pandemic. Just in Orange County, California alone, more than 250,000 ballots were a direct result of ballot harvesting. So, step two. Prohibit third-party ballot returns and narrow who can return ballots. The ways this can be manipulated are absolutely nuts. A state employee investigator in Wisconsin found 100% turnout in multiple nursing homes. He called it, quote, absurd. He found intercepted ballots, forged signatures, and residents who were deemed incompetent that had voted. 92,000 residents live in those facilities in Wisconsin. The current president won the state by less than 21,000 votes. 100% turnout. In Michigan, a woman was forced to plead guilty to 7 counts of election fraud. She was caught submitting applicants for absentee ballots on the behalf of people that were legally incapacitated. Now, these cases are everywhere. In Texas, we no longer can pursue them for some reason. These are the cases that the left wants to pretend they don't happen, but they are real. And if they happen on the other side, they're just as real and must be stopped. Step three, ban third-party distribution of unsolicited absentee application. These so-called nonpartisan actors are shooting out ballot applications like confetti to anyone with a heartbeat, sometimes without the heartbeat, and sometimes to potential voters that walk on four legs. I'm not making this up. Some of these mailing operations, and I quote, send voter registration forms to the deceased, longtime voters who are already registered, and even to pets with human-sounding names. Step four, ban unsolicited absentee applications and ballots by government officials. States were sending out so many ballots in the 2020 election, people didn't know what the heck to do. It is all documented. People were getting multiple ballots. And I'm sure there's no way that that could be taken advantage of in today's America on either side. The mainstream media went into overdrive to try to tell people what to do. Receive two ballots. Here's what to do. Step five, states should adopt strict guidelines for absentee ballot return. Now, this one should be obvious because how we vote is rapidly changing. By 2008, 75% of the country still voted on Election Day. By 2020, only 28% voted on Election Day. Half of the votes came in by absentee ballot. This is extraordinarily dangerous. Don't take my word for it. Ask Jimmy Carter. Quote, absentee ballots remain the largest source of potential voter fraud. Everyone knows this, but now that we become so partisan, we can't even have this conversation. Step six, require identification to vote absentee. I can't get my driver's license without having ID. I can't get on a plane without having ID. I can't buy a drink, well, I can, without having ID. It's the hair, it sets them off, they know. There's so many things that you have to have ID for. We all know, left and right, this is popular on the left and the right. Why isn't this already a thing? Multiple ballot applications are being sent to the same people, dead people, pets. Imagine what could be done with no absentee ballot ID requirement. The state of Nebraska just signed a law in addressing this, but much of the country has a long, long way to go. Why? Step seven, prohibit unsecured drop boxes. This is yet another obvious solution, but it's the opposite direction that we seem to be headed. The state of Arkansas is making great movements on this. Step eight, require absentee and mail-in ballots to be returned by election date. For the love of everything that is good and decent, please, how come we can't get this one done? You have to return. If you don't show up for your doctor on time, he still charges you for the appointment. I'm going to have to break the shirt out again, I think, that this is not about the 2020. No, this is one about if it's not counted in less than 4 hours, contact your doctor. I mean, all votes should be counted on Election Day, period. The longer it drags on, the more people lose confidence. And I think we can all agree, we don't want that. We want people feel confident about what that number is. If all of our states implemented these eight steps, voting confidence would be fixed immediately. But instead, we're left with even more questions, even in red states like Texas. What the heck is going on between the federal government, Texas, and voter registration? We go there next. In exactly 5 minutes and 43 seconds, if you're watching YouTube or Pluto and you're watching this program, the feed will break. If you're watching on X or on Blaze TV, you'll get the second part of this episode where we're going to make a blockbuster reveal here of an alleged major vulnerability in our electronic voting system. We're going to show you the problem. We're going to show you what the company says. We're going to show you some experts. And we're going to show you the solution that's coming up now in 5 minutes and 4 seconds. Have you heard of the Help America Vote Verification System? In compliance with the Help America Vote Act, the Social Security Administration developed a new system to help the voter registration process. If someone registers to vote, but they don't have a present or valid ID, the state can submit their name to the system for verification. The HAVV verifies the name, the date of birth, and the last four digits of the visitor's Social Security number. Great. Okay. Sounds like a legitimate check to people attempting to register to vote illegally. But my question isn't about the system in general. My question is, why are so many verification requests being sent in Texas? Voter registration verification requests are actually public information. You can go to HAVV, the website, and pull up numbers that go all the way back to 2011. Texas blows every other state away in required verifications. It's not even close. Nearly 24 million since 2011. California comes in at number two with 9 million. Now, if you look at the data just from this year, Texas had to verify over 1.2 million voter registrations. As in, 1.2 million people tried to register without an ID. Why? What's going on? Now, this started to come out a couple of weeks ago and even forced the Texas Secretary of State to respond. The response was weird. She stated that the reports of 1.2 million were inaccurate. She went on to explain how the verification system works and that the number from the Social Security Administration only reflects how many times a verification request was sent. Okay, but let me give you the final line in her response letter. Quote, "The SSA number is clearly incorrect, and we are working now to determine why there is such a large discrepancy." Wait. So there's no there, but also the numbers aren't right, and they're trying to figure out what the heck is going on? If the purpose is to make us even more confused, success. But wait, there's more. Data has been updated religiously on the website every single week since 2011. Every week. You notice anything funny here? The week after this story came out, the Social Security Administration stopped updating the system. Let me restate that. For the first time in over a decade, and after an abnormally large number was exposed, the government just stopped updating the data. I'm not going to speculate. I'm baffled to what might be happening here. Surely there's not a lot of people that could be trying to register to vote in Texas without an ID, right? I mean, sure, that whole Eagle Pass thing was crazy, and illegal immigrants are pouring over the border in the highest rate ever seen, but it's no big deal, right? It's all good, right? You have to have a Social Security number under the HAVV system. It's not like non-citizens can get one of those. Oh, wait. They can get that. Well, it's not like asylum seekers can get an... Oh, yes, they can apply for that, too. We've all wondered why the left has made legal immigration one of their main rallying cries. We've speculated that one of the reasons might be to increase their voting base. Did you see this from muckraker.com? They followed a tip from an NGO in Mexico that was allegedly actively encouraging the migrants they assist to vote for Joe Biden. This flyer was found at the NGO. Quote, "Reminder to vote for President Biden when you're in the United States. We need another 4 years of his term to stay open." The NGO is called the Resource Center Matamoros. The Mexican city of Matamoros is just on the other side of the border with Brownsville, Texas. Which brings me to the other question I recently had that kind of blew my mind. And it's really why we're going to move the conversation now just to Blaze TV. Go to blazetv.com/Glenn, and you're going to get the rest of the show. We're going to begin here in 23 seconds. It's extended, uncensored, the conclusion, and what you can do about it to restore the faith in our system that both left and right need to have. The conclusion begins right now.